Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, coast to coast. Angus Melion is a talented Florida-born author with interest in the macabre, the romantic, and the sickening. The introduction to his website, angusmelion.com, pretty well sums it up. Welcome to the Funhouse. His horror thriller, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind, receiving rave reviews, called a compelling read in a genre of many unoriginal texts, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind manages to separate itself from the class with intriguing writing and thrilling narratives. Angus was attracted to stories of the macabre at an early age, seeing storytellers connect their tales to the personal trauma and fears that they themselves experienced, helping throw Angus into what he calls the wonderful rabbit hole that is writing. Since then, he's never stopped trying to tell his tales. Angus Melion continues to tell his tales in his riveting book, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind, and he's with us on This Week in America. Angus, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. It's really exciting.
Well, it's fun to have you here. I love your mind and where you go with all of the stories, and looking forward to having a chance to talk about that. And you are a very talented writer. When did you decide, and why did you decide, that I'd like to be a writer?
It kind of came from the fact that I was really bad at everything else in school.
So by elimination.
Yeah, I was terrible at math. I wasn't very good at, like, I always found, you know, like math and science I was good at, but I found it very boring. And what always got me more so was just this kind of, I loved history. Because with history, even though I think some teachers don't teach it as necessarily fun as they could, it's still like, you know, it's all about murder and betrayal and like the story, you know, these epics of like Napoleon and Caesar.
Yes.
And these great big stories. I loved writing about those as a kid. I would just like write them to myself, stories of like Caesar, and they were all like made up stuff because I didn't know any of the actual history about him. I just knew about what I saw on PBS as a kid. So that over time got me more interested into talking more so about more like more atmospheric things,
it actually does. And I mentioned I love where your mind goes in creating these stories, and you really, not everybody can do this. I mean, you just sort of let the mind go and all of a sudden you've come up with these great storylines. What is your favorite story? I'll ask that two ways. Maybe growing up, a favorite story you had, and a favorite story you have from your book, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind.
To answer the first one, my favorite story, well, there's two big ones. I don't know if you'd really count this as a story, it's more so as an excerpt, but there's my favorite book of all time is Black Boy by Richard Wright. And it was all about him growing up in the South, in the American South during, you know, the very early 1900s, a very rough time.
Oh,
but
yes.
There's a specific moment in that book that I always go back to when it comes to writing, especially when it comes to writing emotional stuff, because sometimes I have a bit of a hard time with that. He talks about, because his dad left him when he was younger, and he talks about seeing his dad when he was about 20 years old again. And he writes it as basically a little short story throughout the rest of the book, because it never really connects to anything else. But he talks about seeing his dad and seeing his dad's eyes and his face and feeling that connection of like, I am related to you, and I am like, there are parts of you that are just going to be in me forever, but because you left so long ago, we are ultimately strangers, and that can never be fixed. And that moment is given about a page or two, but like I said, it doesn't connect to anything else in the book, but it's just so powerful that I've always gone back to that. I always go back to that, especially when it comes to writing like character stuff.
Yes.
And showing grief, kind of, because he is describing a sense of, you know, he is extremely distraught over the fact that he never really did get to know his father because of this.
It's interesting.
And he's
like,
never
what a page and a half out of that, and it stayed with you. It's sort of what the foundation emotionally for characters that you write about. This was a powerful story, obviously, wasn't it? And one that still is in your mind as you're creating your own characters.
Every day I think about that story. And like I said, I love that book to death. And it's a fantastic read. And the second story that helped me a lot when it comes to writing is the complete opposite, where I describe Richard Wright's book as this, beautiful emotional thing. There's a book called Chopper, which is written by an Australian gangster, and he's a horrible person who did horrible things, but he talks about doing these horrible things in this, because it was so normal for him. He talks about it in this almost kind of comedic way, like it's like Abbott and Costello having a conversation. And there's not like he talks about specifically about his friend botching a hit in one of the chapters. His friend messes up a hit and is then saved by the person he was supposed to kill. And it almost comes off as like a the best way to describe it is it's like reading a script to a Three Stooges to a
Yeah,
Three Stooges
okay.
short. And that played a big role in terms of how I deal with kind of, because I feel, especially with horror, it's very easy to fall into just pure nihilism, and I don't want to fall into that. I want to add this kind of level of humility, of comedy as well, and that has always played a big role. So a sociopath and one of the best, most emotional books ever made are my biggest
What an
inspirations in terms of.
eclectic foundation that you have. And it's interesting because the one review I read talked about in a genre of unoriginal scripts and stories, you're known for your originality. And that goes back to obviously the foundation again, the books that you read that give you this different perspective. The book, by the way, is that we're talking about is Little Stories from an Eaten Mind by Angus Millian, and that's Angus. Millian is Millian. Website is angusmillian.com. And again, all of this on our website, you can click on and go directly there. Book available at Writers Republic as well. All of the usual places. Let's talk about maybe a favorite story or two that you have that you've written that we will read in Little Stories from an Eaten Mind. First of all, how did you come up with the title for Little Stories from an Eaten Mind?
Well, that's interesting, because also I do apologize for talking about other books, but
Nothing wrong with that.
I came up with that more so because it was originally called Bug Brain, which is the name of the first story in the book, and I decided not to go with that. I wanted to kind of give the I want people to know what they're getting into when they're reading the book. So, and it's not a very creative story of how I came up with it, but it was just like a lot of these stories do come from trauma and do come from,
Oh, yes.
experiences that I've had. So I don't want to say like, oh, stories from like a dark mind or whatever, because that's a little corny to me. But Eaten is equally as corny, but it kind of, I think, gives a good explanation to the reader of like, no, these aren't just like, little funny short stories. These are stories that do have, they come from a place of genuine vulnerability, which is why I chose that title specifically.
Well, it's a title that when you read it twice and it does capture your imagination and you do remember it. It's Little Stories from an Eaten Mind by Angus Millian, our guest on the program. What are some of the stories in the book that you're particularly proud of and that getting good reviews on?
My personal. I have two favorite stories that I wrote in there, and I mean, I love them all dearly, but the last one, Bangers and Mash, was almost a autobiography, more so about, there was a point in time when I was I had a bit of a I had a bit of a breakdown and I was put in a mental hospital, and that is obviously, there's a feeling that I have tried so long to describe to people of when you're sitting in a place like that and you realize you can't leave. And it's one of the most horrifying feelings you'll ever have, because it's
Yes.
just complete just take of control from you, right? You can't just walk out. You can't just get like some fresh air. You are stuck there. And they and because it's a because it's a mental hospital, and there are people in there who are suicidal or drug addicts, you're not allowed to do a lot of stuff either. So you just kind of sit there, and it's this repetitiveness, this horror of the pure day after day doing the same thing over and over and over again, to the point where it starts to become chaotic to you, even. Like slight things, like what they're going to feed you for like dinner or breakfast. That slight change up is it, like, oh, like today it's bangers and mash, is gut-wrenching for some reason because you have nothing else. And I wanted to portray that in the kind of horrific and genuinely nightmarish way that I felt I was
Yes.
in, especially, going to bed at night and having a dream that you're in your house and that you're free and you're reading a book and then waking up and realizing, no, you're not there. You're back here. It is a genuinely horrible feeling.
And you're able to convey that. I mean, it's such a job well done in the book, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind. Angus Millian is our guest on the program. His website is angusmillian.com, and I'll spell all of that as we go through the program. What other story in there would you call our attention to?
Probably this is going to sound a little so I love the story The Hikers, because when I would write these stories, I would listen to a lot of times just incidents, I guess, if I say like I would listen to people talking about like interviews with like serial killers and stuff
Yes.
like that, because I don't know, it when you're writing about stuff like this, it helps to kind of get into that mindset that these people have. But with The Hikers, I was listening to, there's a famous incident, I think it was in Finland or Russia, where these hikers died, and recently they actually found out that it was because of an avalanche. But at the time I was listening to this, there was seemingly no reason for why these for like why like these like five people died in the mountains. And I found that very just, maybe it's because I'm from Florida and I'm not used to like mountains and stuff like that, but the idea of being that high up and just you can't run away from whatever's up there and you don't know what it is,
Oh, yes.
that unexplained event terrified me. And so I remember I that was one of the, like, because there are a few times when writing a story when you like stop for a second and you start to think, oh, maybe I should do this way or that way. That story was the first one where I could just I one and done. I was able to just write it and not stop at all. And that is actually where the character on the cover of the book, that little
Oh,
red man,
yes.
that's his origin is from that story, because he genuinely horrified me, the thought of just like seeing that in the darkness. And like I said, that is maybe it's not the scariest story in that, but that was the story that I was the most scared writing, if that makes sense.
That's interesting, and I'm looking at the book cover now. By the way, the video version of this interview we're doing with Angus is on YouTube. You'll find it at thisweekinamerica.us. Just click on videos, and it'll come up, or just Google it. The video interview with Angus. That is a frightening picture that you have in the cover, along with the title "Little Stories from an Eaten Mind," and then we see the picture. You have our attention right away. Boy, time is going by so quickly. I want to ask about your writing style and how you go about writing these stories. How would you describe your style?
Well, that's so it all comes from when I was getting into writing. It kind of happened because around the age of 11, I got really into movies, but I loved scripts. I loved reading scripts, and I would sit and I would just like read scripts nonstop, like the scripts, like, and it would be like to whatever movie. It could be like American Psycho or like some, avant-garde French film, and then it's another day it could be like Pineapple Express. I didn't care. I just liked reading scripts. But what I loved the most about it was how direct a script is, because obviously you're trying to direct an actor as to what to do. So when I started to write more so on my own, I found myself always kind of writing very directly like that. Like, it's not like the typical book you read in a language arts class where it's very descriptive and they
Oh,
very go
yes.
into it. I kind of liked the ambiguity of being direct with the audience as to what a character is doing, especially with the kind of characters that I like to write. These kind of, more morally skewed people, I think having them be very direct about what they're doing is very interesting, as well as the fact that when you do get emotional and you have those little moments when they break or they show vulnerability, it just enhances all of it to me, because it's the first time the audience truly gets to see it. And that was kind of, that played a big role in my writing style, as well as the going back to Richard Wright, his book, and those, because he's very similar with it too, though he is way more emotional. He had moments where he would just describe going, like, just like his daily routine, and I found that very interesting. And like I said, I find that super good for writing, and
Yes.
I think it's interesting to an audience to kind
Well,
of be given this kind of direct
it
sense into it
is,
all.
and as a reader, an audience member, thank you. Sometimes you get so tied up and you're thinking, I just spent 5 pages of flowery description that I really don't need to know. It doesn't advance the story. I'm now bored with your stupid story. So get on and tell me something here. And you've sort of eliminated that with the directness. You do so well in this genre, the horror thriller genre. Why did you choose that specifically? And will you branch out from that, do you think?
Well, I chose horror because I think horror is a very interesting way of, when it comes to writing, I think, the writer's goal, at least in my opinion, because everyone has their own philosophy, but mine is to kind of spread empathy, right? To allow the audience to understand someone else's way of thinking, even if that way of thinking is ultimately harmful at times. And I think horror is a good way of doing that, but also doing it in a much bigger way, right?
Yes,
Because you can
yes.
in horror you can be very over the top with your theme, but still kind of bring it back home, right? Like in one of the stories in the book, Cracks Within the Concrete Cage, that's a story of the guy's in the cell and he's with the giant bug, and they're just kind of reciting their own dreams together. And that's over the top. That's a very loud kind of way of telling that story. But because of that, I'm able to overall condense the themes, which I don't really want to give away. I can condense those themes into something that's very easy for an audience to take in. Now, I don't think, I don't want to make the themes obviously too obvious, but I do want to make it simple. I want you to leave understanding it and being able to take it and kind of use it in your own
Yes,
life in a
yes.
way, especially with trauma, with using it within your own trauma and your own what you might be going through mentally. To be able to take a bigger story like this, it kind of allows you to, look at your own self and make it a lot smaller and allow a room for growth and healing, I feel, which is why I love horror, because a lot of the best horror stories do that, and a lot of the best horror. You could argue whether or not this is a horror story, but this is a movie. Eraserhead, though, he made that, David Lynch, would about when he had a child and his fear of that, but he makes it so big, so over the top, that it's able, like I said, the audience can take it all in and then think about it and then reflect it onto their own lives. And I think that's very, very good about horror and why I think it's such a important genre.
All of these stories are in Angus's book, Little Stories from an Eaten Mind. A couple minutes left, and I'll give you the name and where the book's available, which is basically everywhere in just a couple of minutes here. But do you have a novel that you would like to write? Are you thinking about a novel or sticking with the short story narrative?
Well, I write short stories now more so as a way of exercise. I do have an idea for a novel, and I am very interested in pursuing those ideas and working more on that. But right now, I think I'm going to focus on a little bit more on the short stories, just as I'm still getting my foot set in the door and
Yes.
whatnot.
How is it? I'm going to take a minute here because I'm always fascinated by this. When you put together Little Stories from an Eaten Mind, it's basically a collection of your work. How do you put that together? How do you craft that collection of different topics? How do you know when, okay, this fits together. This is the book that I want to put all these together. This is the compilation I want to achieve. How challenging is that to put a book together of various stories?
It's extremely challenging, and I think one of the main reasons why I was able to put together the way I did was because I was a bit of a fool, and I messaged a publisher before the book was finished. So every week they would ask me, "When's the book ready?" And so that made me kind of like really have to focus, like, okay, what am I trying to do with this? And as I said before, I'm really just trying to kind of explore my own trauma and the trauma of some of the people close to me have gone through. And the stories themselves are all, very varied. You have horror stories. You have like over the top horror stories, like monsters and stuff. You have smaller stuff about like killers. But ultimately, I feel it all kind of blends together within this realm of, like I said, trauma. which is what puts them all together. And there's a certain moment when you just have a feeling when they work, and it's a very personal thing between, I feel, the author and the story itself, because you don't, you know, it is like, going into it, I was very afraid of accidentally, putting in a story that didn't work in terms of themes or with everything else. So it is a very kind of interesting and difficult job, I guess,
Yes.
to put yourself into. But it's also so, I say it's difficult, but it does come to you very quickly with when you're writing what you want and what you want the short stories to connect to.
Well, you've done an
And
excellent job
it's very
in putting
fulfilling.
that together. That's why I wanted to ask you that, because it looked like there was a thought process that went into putting these together. Sometimes you read, the collection, and it's like, this is doesn't make any sense with what was in there before, and there's no continuity. And you have all of that. It's so well done. The book is Little Stories from an Eaton Mind by Angus Millian. Now, Angus is Angus. Millian is Millian. Website is angusmillian.com, angusmillian.com. Book available at writersrepublic.com and Amazon, all of the usual places. Angus, a pleasure having you on the program. I love what you've done with Little Stories from an Eaton Mind. Can't wait for the next offering, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's genuinely been a huge honor. So thank you again so much.
Well, it's been our pleasure, and all the information on Angus and his books, of course, available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Links for the book Little Stories from an Eaton Mind by Angus Millian. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.